If you'd like to take your little handout, all the verses that we'll be using tonight are on that sheet. We won't need any, we won't need our Bibles open at any place. It's all on that sheet. Let's ask God's help. Lord, as we come to this time of VBS training, we pray that this would be a help, help to mums and dads as they seek to bring children to Christ, help to grandparents as they seek to bring their grandchildren to Christ, and also a help to us as we interact with Christian and community kids this coming VBS week, in a week or so. And we pray, Lord, that each day your Spirit would be working and we might have the opportunity of rejoicing in seeing you bring in the harvest. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the title of this evening's message is simply VBS Training. Ancho was a teenager who committed sexual immorality before marriage. She became pregnant, and Ancha also had a few things against her. First of all, she had a significant cardiac murmur, which meant that she was not going to be able to carry the baby to term. And secondly, she lived in our village of Ndungu Kebi in the Gambia, West Africa, which meant that there was no cardiac surgery in the country in which she lived. So almost inevitably, she went into labour somewhere around 20 to 24 weeks. She delivered a live premature baby, very preemie, and with no neonatal unit in the country, we did the best we could. The baby died within 48 hours. Without very expensive equipment and highly trained medical professionals, premature delivery is a very serious problem. Similarly, being overdue is a significant problem. Once ladies get to 7 to 10 days overdue, doctors start doing tests to check on fetal well-being to make sure everything is still going okay. It can be a problem. There is a window of time for healthy delivery, which proper obstetric management seeks. Similarly, counseling children regarding salvation is fraught with dangers. It is important that counselors do not lag behind the Holy Spirit and do not get ahead of the Holy Spirit's work in a child's heart. We don't want premature deliveries, nor do we want children to go over term, as it were, when they are needing to trust Christ. We need to understand the best way to sensitively counsel a child. We are involved with God in delivering a soul. Of course, the Bible is the prime and foundational tool for counseling in regard to salvation. It's, of course, okay to use other tools like tracts, and we'll be particularly using this tract here, a gift to you. We have plenty for the counseling situation during the Vacation Bible School week. It's okay, of course, to be using other tools that are based on and derived from the Scripture. And like all spiritual ministry, it's just as important to understand the person we're ministering to, in this case the child, as well as we understand the Scripture that we're trying to bring to them. So this is the scenario. A child has indicated in some way that they would like to talk to an adult. We might naturally assume that it is in regard to salvation, but actually that can be a dangerous assumption. This is a how-to message, and we're going to consider six phases of the counselling process. The counselling resource is, as I said, a gift to you. So we'll want to end up with a good knowledge of that tract and how to use it. And I have snapshots of different panels of that tract on your handout tonight. The first phase in the counselling process is getting started. For our VBS, all counselling will normally be done in this hall during the opening and opening and closing sessions, or over in the small hall during the teaching sessions. If a child is taken outside, it's necessary that two workers go with them, and that can be a little bit intimidating, so it is better to counsel one-on-one within the hall. The disadvantage with that, of course, is that the child may be distracted by things going on in the hall. So just a little suggestion that might help: take two chairs with you, put your chair back against one of the walls so that the child is facing you and their back is to what's going on in the hall. They're less likely to get distracted in that situation. You're going to lead the child through the counseling process. They don't know what to do. You must know how to go about it. First, you want to get to know the child and where they're at spiritually. That you are talking with them, you may presume that they want to be saved. Don't assume anything. The counselor must find out where the child is at. Ask their name or get it off their name tag and record it. Say, I think I know why you put up your hand, or I think I know why you came to the front, but would you explain that to me? Would you tell me? In general, ask questions that are open-ended questions rather than closed questions. By closed questions, I mean they just have a yes or no answer. The child says yes or no and you don't get any further information. It's better to ask open-ended questions. If you ask a question with a yes or no answer, it should be just in leading to another question that will be open-ended. For example, did you put up your hand to talk to an adult? Yes. What did you want to talk to them about? And so you're able to get a feel for where the child is at by asking an open-ended question. In answer to that question, one time a little girl said to me that her grandmother had died and could I pray for her? Well, clearly that little girl was grieving at that point and the issue of salvation was not the thing that she was needing counselling for. Or other counsellors have been told, my little puppy is sick or some such similar thing. Even with a request like, would you pray for my puppy that is sick? I think that is an opportunity to encourage the child and also to get a feel for where they're at spiritually. You could say something like, it's good to know that God, it's good that you realize that God answers prayer. What else do you know about God? And that can lead into a conversation, just trying to understand where that child's at. But if the child shows no further interest than a puppy getting better, it's obviously too early to pray with that child for salvation. We shouldn't do that. That would be a premature delivery, and that would be spiritually damaging to the child. Pray for the puppy, pray for God's will in that child's life, and let the child go. We don't want to damage them by premature delivery. See, the scenario then is they think they've trusted Christ, they haven't really, and therefore it's harder to reach them later on. Be tender and kind. Be careful how you deal with children. As a male, I have a disadvantage to the ladies here. I certainly wouldn't be touching a child in any way, and even ladies, I guess these days, have to be careful about that too. Remember the child protection training that you've been given, and Jesus' words in Matthew 18 and verse 6, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. The second phase in the counseling process deals with their understanding of God. So the child that you're sitting with at this point is a child that in some way has expressed the desire to be saved or go to heaven or something like that. That is so because any other child, you have prayed for their puppy, whatever, and dismissed them at this point. It's now the counselor's job to find out what they understand by whatever words they use. You've asked them, I think I know why you put up your hand, but would you explain that to me? And maybe they've said, I want to be saved, or I want to trust Christ, or I want to ask Jesus into my heart, and you're wanting to see what they understand by those words. So we start first with their understanding of God. Ask, what can you tell me about God? And then you're looking for answers like, God made everything, God loves us, or God is holy. And these things, of course, will be taught during the week. If they can't tell you anything about God, that raises some concerns right there, and those concerns might be addressed in a minute. But for now, use the first panel of the track to teach them about God. Say, the Bible says, for God so loved the world. And have a look at the pictures there, the pictures of the people on that first panel of the track. and you ask them, for God so loved the world, what do you think that means? All the while we're trying to assess the child's spiritual understanding so we know whether it's right to pray with them or not. Make sure that they understand God made the world and them. All these people here, God made them. He made you too. And that God loves them. He loves each of these people and he loves them. With an older child, you may want to turn in your Bible back to Genesis 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Or Psalm 99 and verse 9, which simply says, the Lord our God is holy. That's the most succinct statement probably in the scriptures. It's easy to remember, 99 verse 9. Okay, you can turn there easily. And then you can finish by reading panel 1 of the tract. You can read it through with them. God loves every boy and girl, every teenager, and every adult in the world. That means that God loves you too. And you might want to insert their name in there. Because God loves you, he did something special for you. The third phase in the counseling process deals with the child's understanding of sin. To assess their understanding of sin, we can ask, why do you need the Lord Jesus? Or we could use their words from the question, why did you want to talk to an adult today? They might have said, I want to get saved. Then you can ask the question, using their own words, you see, why do you need to be saved? And you're looking for them to understand that they have a problem with sin. Or they may have said, I want to go to heaven. And then you might ask, is there anything that could be stopping you going from heaven? Again, you're assessing if they understand their problem with sin and their need of salvation. Now, the possible scenario, a couple of possible scenarios are building up at this point. Scenario one. Although the child has stated they want salvation or heaven, it might be because someone else has put up their hand, a friend or something, and they don't understand anything about God yet. They don't understand their need because of sin. In that case, it is probably too early to pray with such a child. Sure, continue to explain the way of salvation, but do not pray with them and do not give them any indication that they're saved. Just because they've come and talked to you does not mean that they're saved. They may be ready tomorrow or at a later ministry opportunity, but until they have a good understanding themselves of God and sin, and how to be saved, they're not yet ready. Or scenario number two. They do understand about God and about sin. At this point, again using the child's words, you want to know if this is the first time they've done something like this. So using their words, you'd say, have you ever been saved before? Or, you ever trusted Christ before? Have you ever asked Jesus into your heart before? Yes. Then what did you do then? What happened at that time? And you try and get a feel for whether they really at least made a profession of faith at a previous time. Now, if they have made a previous profession of faith, most child counseling says that it's right to give assurance of salvation at this point. I would caution against that, because you've got to answer the question, even if they made a profession of salvation, did the child really trust Christ? Do you know that? And if you don't know that, can you give them assurance of salvation? I don't think so. You're going to have to allow the Holy Spirit to do that if you can't really know yourself. Did Jesus really change their life is the question that you're trying to answer to know if they have trusted Christ. And to assess that, you can ask the question, did anything change after you trusted Christ? After you ask Jesus into your heart, or whatever wording they have been using. Yes, then perhaps what we've got to ask the question, if they have previously trusted Christ and now they've come for counselling, why are they coming for counselling? Two main possibilities here. You want to ask the question, have you been disobeying the Lord Jesus recently? And they might feel like they need to be saved all over again. Certainly explain trusting Jesus is so special, you need to do it only once. Also explain when you really belong to the Lord Jesus, you'll live different. And, for example, you'll want to read your Bible and you'll want to be with God's people. You won't want to sin. There'll be a change in your life. In either case, I think now you can go to panel 2 on the tract and say, just reading it out, say that the Bible says that God gave his only begotten Son. That means God gave his one and only Son. Ask them, what do you think Jesus is doing in this picture? Well, he's dying on the cross. Why would he be doing that? Well, hopefully you're going to hear them say, well, he's dying for my sins, or something like that. Then you can read with them, every person is a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned. With an older child, you might want to turn in your Bible, show them the verse, and read the whole verse to them, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And still, you're wanting to assess their understanding, so you ask, what is sin? And hopefully they'll understand that it's doing something that God says not to do, or bad things that make God sad. If they don't understand that, well, you'll want to explain that to them. Check, is there anything that they do that is sin? See, if they have an understanding what sin is and then deny they don't do any sin, well, that makes it very questionable whether the Holy Spirit is convicting them. If the Holy Spirit is really working in their life, they should understand that they personally have a problem with sin. And then you can read on panel 2, your sin deserves punishment. That punishment is separation from God forever. Jesus, God's Son, died on the cross to take your punishment and forgive your sins. How can you have your sins forgiven? And that's going to lead on to the next panel. With an older child, of course, you could read Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, and so on. The fourth phase in counseling process deals with their understanding of Jesus and what he did. Their understanding of Jesus and what he did. So we can explore their understanding of Jesus by asking a few questions. Number one, you could ask them, why did God give Jesus to us? And then you'll want to ask, who is Jesus? How does Jesus' death on the cross help us? Did Jesus stay dead? Is that important? You're trying to assess their understanding of the resurrection and the part that has to play in the whole thing. Then go over panel 3 of the tract with them. So you can say from tract 3, the Bible says that whosoever believes in him, whoever believes in him will be saved. With an older child, you may want to go over Romans 10 and verse 9. If you confess with your mouth, that means if you admit with your mouth that the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Believing in the resurrection is necessary for salvation. Believing who Jesus is, that he's God in the flesh, is necessary for salvation. They should understand those things. Or you might want to read with an older child 1 Corinthians 15:3, for I delivered to you first of all that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And then you can read the bottom of the third panel. Believing in Jesus is believing that Jesus, the Son of God, is the only one who can take away sins. Believing that Jesus died and rose again to take the punishment for your sins. Trusting in Jesus as your Savior. The fifth phase in the counseling process deals with their understanding of what to do next. What to do next. Now we can read the whole of John 3:16 to the child using panels 1 to 4. And so we start at panel 1, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then check their understanding. Ask, what does God promise for you in that verse? Now, at this point, your assessment of the child's understanding is crucial. If there has been no conviction of sin and no understanding of what Jesus did for them, they are not yet ready to pray. God has used you. You've now gone through the gospel and explained the gospel to them again in a very personal way, but they are not ready to be saved if they don't yet have understanding themselves of these things. If they have good understanding of the spiritual issues and whatever they've done in the past is not real, then you might want to ask, how would you tell God that you're a sinner and believe in his Son? And hopefully they'd say to you, well, I could pray. So you'd read panel 4 with them. Rest of panel 4. If you believe in Jesus as your Saviour, you have everlasting life. You'll not go to hell when you die. You'll go to heaven to live with Jesus forever. Everlasting life is a gift from God that no one can ever take away from you. And then you want to go over the prayer in panel 5 and make sure they understood, Dear Lord, I know I have sinned and deserve to be punished. We've already discussed sin with them. I believe that Jesus loves me and died on the cross to take the punishment for my sins. I now trust Jesus as my Saviour. I know that I have everlasting life. Amen. And you say, would you be ready to pray a prayer like that? And if they say yes, encourage them to pray in their own words, that the words aren't magical. They don't have to say those exact words. As long as they pray to the Lord Jesus, admitting their sin and trusting him, that God will save them. There's hardly anything better than hearing a child use their own words to come to the Saviour. And hearing their own words is going to tell you how well they understood. Some children, however, are too shy to use their own words. In that case, it's okay to lead them through a prayer. You could say the words after me. If their understanding has been okay, it's okay to continue and lead them through a sinner's prayer. The problem with that is it does prevent you hearing their own words and having that final assessment of what God is doing in their lives, but that might be necessary sometimes. The final phase in counselling is wrapping up. Don't be too ready to give assurance of salvation, but if you think that is appropriate, good verses for older children are John 10, 27 and 28. So this is the situation where you've asked the child, have you ever done this before? They've said yes. And did anything change at that time? Oh yes, this and this happened. And yet they seem to be really unsure whether they're saved or not. I think that would be the situation where it would be appropriate to give assurance of salvation. So we'd read John 10, 27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And you might want to give them a little example. If you have a coin in your pocket, ring on your finger, put it in your hand and ask them to see if they can get it out of your hand. And they shouldn't be able to do that. I hope they can't do that. But anyway, you can make the point that God has an all-powerful hand. If you have really trusted Jesus as your Savior, you're safe in his hand. No one can get you out of his hand. If they belong to Jesus and they have been disobeying him recently, then we need to lead them in confession. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's why they don't feel saved right now, because they've been disobedient. And so we all have to do this at times, don't we? We have to go back to God and say sorry. And so we lead the child through in that situation. In any case, if the child has prayed either today or on a previous occasion to receive Christ, then I think it's important to use those last two panels, panels 6 and 7, to show that some ways how a Christian boy or girl should live. Explain that these things here are not things we do to get saved. These are things we do because we are saved and now we love the Lord Jesus and we want to please him. The days ahead are going to show whether their salvation is real or not. So we'd read through these with them, read and obey your Bible, pray, attend Sunday school and church. They've listed be baptized here. I think that'd be most appropriate with an older child, perhaps, that seems really very well to understand. But I'd add a fifth one that's not on this sheet here, and I think it's quite an important one. I think you could say to the child, go and tell someone what you've done today. Or when you go home tonight, I want you to tell Mum and Dad what you've done. Explain it the best way you can, and then you can give them this little tract that'll help explain what they've done. Wow, guess what happened to me? And there'll be plenty of these available if your child has come all the way through to Christ. And that's a real help them to take home to unsaved family and explain what's happened to them. Tell them if Mum or Dad would like to talk to you, you'd be glad to do that to help Mum and Dad understand what's happened to their child. Now, I've got to say that talking to Mum and Dad doesn't always turn out well. When Nolan and I were teaching Scripture, we had a little boy who trusted Christ. He went home. He literally knelt beside his bed and began praying. His Mum and Dad came in and, what are you doing? And they were horrified. And immediately they pulled him out of our Scripture class and we never had contact with him again. Now, if he's the Lord's, we can trust him to keep that boy. But it did prevent us following up and doing any discipleship with him. But we're not being secretive in leading children to Christ. We want whole families to be saved and not just children. If you have counseled a child all the way through to salvation, then you're probably the only one that knows where that child is at right now. It's your responsibility to look for the parents when they come, and the best way you know how to explain to the parents what the child has done. They might be horrified, it might backfire on you, but it's still right to do that. Usually, the most tender children come from Christian families, and Christian parents are going to be absolutely delighted that their child has come through and trusted Christ, and they'll be with you. And further, parents can often give you extra information about the child that you weren't able to get in that counselling situation. And so it may be that tomorrow you're able to talk over further things with the child, or if the parents are Christian parents, that they're able to follow through and help the child in further ways that you were not able to do. And then please report all results of counselling to me or someone who's keeping records at the back. That'll enable us to follow up in the future. All you need is a pen and a paper, these couple of little tracts, and they will be available on the back table. And then one other thing, some of you have been taking notes. I didn't tell you at the beginning you didn't need to, because it's better to take notes anyway. It'll help you remember. But all the key questions are listed in that little, a Bible mark. And you can keep that in your Bible. It's got the verses on it. To help you look them up. It's got the key questions, and you can keep that there, and that can walk you through the counselling situation as well. Matter of fact, Max, you've got them there. If you give one of those out to everyone who wants one, please. Just while Max is giving those out, if I could summarise and say, in summary, use open-ended questions to assess where the child is at spiritually. See if the child is really ready for salvation, and try to get the child to pray using their own words. Show them that they will now want to live for Jesus. They'll want to do that because now they've trusted Jesus as their Saviour, and get parents involved. Now, this is a little bit different to a normal sermon. It's kind of a more a teaching session. So I'm just going to open up for comments. There's a number of you that have had more experience with children than I've had. If you have a comment or a suggestion or something to add to what has been said tonight, Be happy to hear from you. Or if someone has a question, we can open up for the group and see if we can problem solve some different situations. So any comments, questions, interactions with what we've looked at this evening? Come on. Okay, well, I'll give you my answer to that question, then we'll open up for anyone else. The child doesn't have a good understanding of salvation, and yet they're saying they want to be saved. How do you handle that? Is that the right question? I would go ahead and explain the plan of salvation. And if they're insisting they want to be saved, I'd go through the questions again and see now if their understanding has changed. Because it's not just knowledge, it's spiritual understanding. And if the Spirit is revealing that to you revealing the truth to the child as you're counseling that child, then it's possible they can come to Christ in that session. So I'd reassess. But if you still thought they weren't ready, I certainly wouldn't pray or give them any indication that they had trusted Christ. Others comment? Has anyone been in that situation? Other comments or interactions? I got a lot of that information off a sheet Helen had. Where did you get that sheet from? Oh, yeah. Yep. It was a very good sheet, but I added some extra stuff too. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight, and it's such a help to us in knowing how to help a child to know you. It's our joy, Lord, to introduce a child to Christ. Give us, if we may ask, Lord, give us that joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.